Amen. It is well with us. Ooh, that's a little hard for me to say right now. Be around to share the gospel, which is the ultimate hope. It's our works within the world that bring hope to others. It's our works that we perform that become a legacy that we leave. This morning I want us to think about the legacy that we are leaving behind us when we are gone. Webster's Dictionary describes or defines the word legacy as money or property left from someone by a will, or left to someone by a will, anything handed down from an ancestor. In other words, a legacy is the things that we leave behind, right? And each and every one of us in this room will leave a legacy should the Lord tarry and we leave the world via death. We might leave a legacy of money to our children or our children's children or whomever. We might leave a legacy of hatred, pain, whatever it is, we will leave a legacy behind us. The legacy doesn't have to be things. A legacy can also be how you've helped someone else, how you have gone out of your way to fill other people's needs, that kind of thing. That's the kind of legacy I want to talk about today. Come with me today as we attend three funerals, three individuals named Larry, Paula, and John. Larry, he grew up in a home with a God-fearing mother and father that didn't have time for all that religious nonsense. Although Larry was focused, or he was forced to go to church all the time as a child, his attitude was more kind of like his dad's. And I don't care about it. I don't need to go to church. That kind of an attitude. And as soon as he was old enough, you know what he did? You can guess. He quit going to church. He lived his life to the very fullest. There was not a thing he wouldn't try, not a thing he wouldn't do. He would experiment with anything. It didn't matter. He lived his life to the fullest. During his life, he only worked part-time jobs to support his nightlife. Shortly before he died, Larry had an experience that changed him completely. He was lying on bed one night thinking of something that he had heard in church as a child. Has anybody ever else remembered something you've heard in church as a child? He had heard that Jesus loved the sinner, and for some reason he just could not get that statement out of his mind. No long lines. No people telling stories of her beloved son. It was just his family. Now let's join in at Paula's funeral. Paula was a hard worker in the church. She sang in the choir. She was a helper in children's church. She assisted the pastor, helped with the announcements. If it needed to be done, Paula was the one that they could count on to get it done. She was always there. She would sit in the front row and was always the loudest when saying amen during the sermons. When something was not right within the church, Paula would point it out and demand that it be fixed. She would demand that there would be repentance for anyone involved in whatever was wrong in the church. 2 weeks before Paula died, Paula grew gravely ill from a viral infection. And as she thought about her illness, she decided to write out what she wanted to be said at her funeral. After all, she felt that it was best to be prepared, just in case. She listed everybody that she wanted on the program and what would be said in the obituary. On her last night, she fell asleep and did not wake up. Paula's funeral was elaborate, to say the least. All of the big-named preachers around town were in attendance. Because, you know, she wrote out what she wanted. There were songs and poems and all sorts of comments being made about how wonderful of a church worker Paula had been. People were crying and shouting as the services went on for 3 hours. When the services concluded, everyone thought her funeral was one of the best that they had attended in years. Many of those in attendance said it was befitting of someone who worked so hard in the church. Fast forward to John. John was an active member in the church, although he didn't do half of the things that Paula did as far as working within the walls of the church. He wasn't one of those who were always up front before the congregation. He didn't have to be up here. He preferred not to be. He preferred to be in the background where nobody knew what he was doing, but things that needed to be done got done, and he didn't get any accolade for it. His funeral was ordinary without a lot of fanfare. None of the big-name preachers in town came. It was just an ordinary service for an ordinary Christian. After his funeral, there were a lot of people who came up to his wife and shared with her how John had blessed them at some point in their life. Their revelation about John's kindness brought peace to this wife's grieving heart. Now, each one of these individuals lived as they chose to live their own life, right? That's what we do. We choose to live our life. All three of these individuals had an opportunity to work and impact the lives of other people. Every one of them did. But before we move on to look at the legacy they left behind, to see how they fared in eternity, I want to share with you two scriptures. And you need to write them down. You need to learn them. Keep them in your heart. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths can eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Matthew 6, 19 through 21. So where is Jesus telling us to keep our treasures, to keep them stored up? In heaven. We don't need to store them up right here. We don't need to store them up with pictures. We need to store our treasures in heaven. If you remember, one of the definitions of the word legacy involves money or property, leaving that behind for someone's heirs. For a lot of people, that's the only legacy that they'll leave behind. They never touched anybody's life. They never helped change anyone's life. They just left property and money behind for those that were left after them. But that's not the legacy that Jesus is referring to when he's talking about storing up our treasures. What we're supposed to do here on earth is to store our... We're supposed to reach others for Christ. That's kind of the way of storing up our treasures in heaven. When we begin to get outside of ourselves, we begin to share the gospel, we begin to change other people's lives because of the gospel, then we're storing up our treasures in heaven. And we're adding more and more souls to the kingdom of God. That's why the enemy works so hard to keep us focused on ourselves. If he can keep us inwardly focused, we'll not do what we're supposed to do, and our treasures will be laid up within ourselves and not in heaven where they should be. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 11. I don't hear pages rustling. You must be on your phones today. Some of you do your Bibles on your phones. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 11. Paul says, "The foundation that has already been laid is Jesus Christ, and no one can lay down any other foundation. But if people build on the foundation using gold, silver, jewels, wood, grass, or straw, their work will be clearly seen because the day of judgment will make it visible. That day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work to show what sort of work it was. If the building has been put on the foundation still stands, the builder will get a reward. If the building is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but it will be as one of those who escaped from a fire." Wow. Will your legacy stand through the fire? In those verses, Paul is telling us that the one true foundation that we can base our life on is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Regardless of any of my gifts or talents, regardless of anything that I think I might be or have, it makes no difference. If they are not built on and utilized on the foundation of Christ, they don't mean anything. It's kind of sad to think that we can do a lot of stuff and it's not done on the foundation of Christ, and therefore it doesn't mean a thing. Paul says that our works will be tried by fire, and those that come through the fire and aren't burned will remain and lead to our rewards. What he's referring to is not our salvation, it's the rewards we'll receive in addition to our salvation. Verse 15 explains that although our works might not stand up to the fire, if we've truly accepted Christ, that we will still be saved, and our reward, but all of our rewards in heaven will be lost. You know, we might have a gold crown, but it won't have a bunch of jewels on it. But we'll still make it by the skin of our teeth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to make it by the skin of my teeth. And I'm not really caring if I get jewels in my crown or not, although I love sparkle and glitz and glitter and all that. I don't care if I get that. The best reward is just to be in the presence of Christ, of God himself. I want to say up front, that this next illustration I'm going to make is only for the purposes of this sermon, and it's not necessarily to be taken for a doctrine, because it's not a doctrine. I want to look forward to Larry, Paul, and John as they arrived at the judgment seat of Christ. So here we are at the judgment seat of Christ, and Larry, Paul, and John, they all stand in line, and it's a long line, and they're standing there waiting for their turn before they go before Christ. And as they move through the line, they notice a couple of things. First, each person has been given a bag. Further down the line, their bag is taken from them and placed in a fire. When that bag is removed from the fire, the contents that remain are given to the person, and they take those before Christ. Jesus takes what they have and gives them something in return. Now, none of these three, Larry, Paula, or John, knew what all that meant. They were just observing what was happening in this long line of people waiting to stand before Christ. Larry received his bag first, and he noticed that it was mildly heavy. So he asked the angel what was in the bag, and the angel said, "Your works from earth are in this bag, and they must go through the fire." Larry immediately dropped his head because he knew that he had wasted a lot of his life on earth, and he knew that he would be rejected and sent to hell. Paula, upon hearing what the angel said to Larry, smiled broadly. She's like, because she knew that she had done everything, all she had just worked and worked and worked, and she had all these things stored up for her. She knew her bag would be big and it would be heavy because she had lots of works to present to the Lord. When she received her bag, she noticed with dismay that her bag was the same size as Larry's. Heaven forbid! When she questioned the angel, he replied to her, "It is not the size of the bag that counts, but the quality of the content within the bag. All of the bags in heaven are the same size. It's the content that's different." So Paula took her bag and proudly moved herself down the line. When John received his bag, he hung his head and he said, "Thank you," knowing that he didn't do a lot of works within the church. As they made their way further down the line and they came to their furnace, one by one, Larry placed his bag of earthly works gave them to the angel, who placed them in the fire, and everything was burned. When the angel removed what was left from the fire, only ashes remained. Larry had done nothing. He had nothing left to present to Christ. So he hung his head as he moved forward in the line to meet his maker. Paula next gave her bag to the angel, and although she felt much pity for Larry, she was glad that she had done all of these works in her church. As she gave the angel her bag, she began to recount in her mind all the things that she had accomplished during her lifetime. When the angel removed the contents from the fire, all that was left was one small golden piece. Paula was shocked. All of her works converted to one small gold piece? Finally, Larry gave the angel his bag, or John gave the angel his bag and waited for the ashes to be returned to him. When the angel removed the contents from the fire, John was given 10 medium-sized gold pieces that had made it through the fire. John was surprised, but Paula, she's more surprised that John had 10 pieces. As they made their way on down the road to where they would stand at the judgment seat before Jesus, each got caught up in their own thoughts. When they got to the front of the line, Larry quietly stepped forward and as his name was called. He couldn't look at Jesus because he already knew what his fate would be. Jesus stood and stepped down from his throne and he walked up to Larry. He lifted his face and he smiled at him and he said these words, Larry, my child, although you did not receive any additional rewards, you will remain forever with me. You are my child. And with that, Larry was escorted into Christ's kingdom. Paula's name was called out next. When she stood before Jesus, she was embarrassed that she only had one tiny little token to hand to Jesus. He took the piece from Paula and he gave her the reward she was due. Paula asked Jesus why her reward was so small when she had spent so much of her adult life working in the church. And Jesus said, Paula, my child, you truly worked hard for those years in the church, but you were not doing it for me. However, before you were firmly established in your church work, you did things privately to help others. You visited the sick, you fed the homeless. Those deeds you did for me. And for those you are rewarded. Enter, my child, into my kingdom. Finally, John's name was called, and he looked confused as he gave Jesus the 10 pieces of gold that he had received. Jesus saw his confusion and asked him what was wrong, and John explained to him that he did not understand how he had earned so many or any rewards as he had not done a whole lot in the church. He was not a minister. He wasn't a deacon. He wasn't an usher. He didn't work in the church. He didn't sing in the choir. He didn't teach Sunday school. Jesus just smiled at John and said, my child, you did more for me than you ever understood. You fed those who were hungry, gave to the poor. You visited the sick. You comforted those who were hurting. You took people into your home when they needed a place. You listened when people called you needing somebody to talk to. All these things and so many more you did in my name out of your love for me. Here is your reward. Now enter my kingdom. And John was escorted into Christ's kingdom. Now that's a story. We have no idea if that's what happens in real life when we get to heaven and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't know, only what the word tells us. So please don't go saying this is what's going to happen in heaven, because we don't know that. What we learn from the story, though, is that all three received eternal life, which was what the ultimate goal is, correct? And under normal circumstances, most people, if you had been polled beforehand, would have asked, if I asked, who do you think will make it, probably might have chosen Paula, because she had done so much work for the Lord. Only it wasn't for the Lord, as we found out in the story. Just because someone works and works and works and works and does everything under the sun in the church does not mean they are any closer to being closer to God than what you are. We have to evaluate. We don't have to evaluate, and we neither should we evaluate. It's between them and God. If what they're doing for God, then that's wonderful. But if what they're doing is for themselves to be shown out, it's worthless, and it means nothing. Church work is important, but what's more important is the reason that you do the work. I don't want our janitor to come in here and clean this church just because it's a paycheck. It's a tiny paycheck, but it's a little bit. I want her to come in here and clean this church like she loves this church and that she's cleaning for the Lord. You know, the Bible says something about whatever you do, do it as you're doing it to the Lord. Everything you do, do it as though you're doing it for the Lord. So are we working for our own benefit, for our own glory, our own legacy? The people down the road, three generations, say, yeah, my great-great-grandmother Heather, she cleaned the church and she just Is that what she's, I don't think you give a rip if that's known in your heirs down the way. That's not what I want to be known for. I want to be known for my love of the Lord. I want to be known for the way that I had compassion for other people. I want to be known for the way that I help other people, the way that I deliver the word when someone needs it. I want to be known as God's daughter. I don't want to be known, she stood up there and preached every Sunday. Who cares? No, I don't need to stand up here and preach. We could sit in a circle and I could just talk to y'all. It'd be the same thing. So we have to ask ourselves, are we working for our own glory or legacy, or are we working for Jesus? I want to close with a series of questions that I want you to ask yourself. I received these in an email conversation with a friend of mine. Can you name the 5 wealthiest people in the world? Can you name the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners? I can't even name the last one. Can you name the last 5 winners of the Miss America contest? Can you name 10 Academy Award winners for Best Actor and Actress? Can you name the last decade's worth of World Series winners? The last 10 World Series winners? I just about can guarantee that most of you of the female persuasion cannot answer any of those questions. About half of those questions, the men can answer pretty good, pretty well. But if you're like me, why do I care who the 5 wealthiest people in the world are? What difference does it make to me? What difference does it make to me who won the Academy Awards? I don't even watch the Academy Awards. Why do I care? The people who won all of these different things that I've just asked questions about, they're not slouches. I mean, they won those awards because they were good at what they did. So, I mean, we don't need to just snub our nose at them just because they won something or whatever. It's fine that they won them. It's nice to get accolades. It's nice to get a pat on the back. It's nice to have a golden statue trophy, Academy, whatever they're called, Oscar or something. Those are nice to have around. My husband has several racing trophies, demolition derby trophies. You know where they're at? Half of the demolition derby trophies are in a tub in my basement, and the racing trophies are in a room that we don't use that's a junk room. They're not displayed. I mean, yeah, he has them and he knows he has them. But the glory of those kind of wear back a little while after they've been sitting for some time. Tell me if you can answer these questions. Can you list a few teachers who aided your journey through school? Can you name 3 friends who have helped you through a difficult time in your life? Can you name 5 people who have taught you something worthwhile? Can you think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and special? Can you name 5 people that you enjoy spending time with? I bet every single one of you have an answer for those questions, because those questions hit us right in the heart, don't they? They mean something to us. And we'll never forget people who have helped us through a hard time. We'll never forget people who have spent time with us and made us feel special. Those things hit us right close to home. The point is that people who make a difference in our lives are not the ones that have the most credentials. Just because Joe Blow over here won the Heisman Trophy, I started to say for 2 years in a row, but they can't do that, can they? Just because they won the Academy Award 2 years in a row doesn't mean that they can help you with what you have going on in your life. It's nice to get accolades, but we shouldn't need them. In my life, there have been several times, especially with 30-plus years of children's ministry under my belt, There's been lots of times when I have felt like, what am I doing this for? They're not learning anything. They sit there and they yell and they scream and they don't listen and they can't answer the questions. Their parents don't ask what they're learning. Why am I up here killing myself trying to teach these kids anything? And every time when I felt like that, after children's church, one of the parents would come up and tell me something that their kids said or did that was because of what I had done as their leader. And I know that God did that on purpose to show me that you might think you're not doing anything. You might think that just because nobody sees what you're doing, that it's not worth it, but it is worth it when you do it for the Lord. The acts of kindness that come from our love for Christ is the thing that's going to be recorded and preserved as we stand before the Lord. Anything that we do for our own glory or for praise to us won't make it through the fire if that's how it's done. But the things that we do for God is what matters. It doesn't matter how much money you make. If you die a millionaire or if you die with 2 pennies in your pocket, it doesn't make a difference. It's what you have done for the Lord in your life. All the stuff that we have, some of us have a lot more stuff, and I'm not thinking necessarily good stuff, I'm just thinking some of us have a lot of stuff. I heard one of them say that. Junk. Was that you? You. One of them said it. They know. I'm surprised you didn't say it. I have a lot of stuff in my house that I don't need in my house, but I am not a hoarder. I am a furniture hoarder. That's what he calls me. All that stuff, all those extra pieces of furniture that are strewn around my house, making it hard to get around, don't mean beans. Doesn't mean anything. If I had nothing in my house as far as furniture and I had to sit on the floor, it wouldn't matter. As long as what I do it for Christ. Stand with me. What kind of a legacy are you leaving? Have you ever thought about what you're going to be leaving behind? I mean, sometimes when it's time for a friend's or loved one's funeral, we might think about it, but we don't usually think about it very much often other than that. But what kind of a legacy? What will they put on your tombstone? What will they say about you after you're gone? They were a good person. She was meaner than heck. They're going to say something. And it's not so much that I want to be spoken well of after I'm gone. I just want people to know I love the Lord and I've done everything that I can possibly do to help someone else love the Lord. Think about the legacy you're leaving behind as we worship today. Thank you, Lord.